As is our custom at the evening hour, we use the Heidelberg Catechism, shorter and larger catechisms, to guide us through the study of God's Word, and therefore at times we spend an extended period examining the law of God as it is contained in the Ten Commandments. We come again to look at the fifth commandment, which I shall now read to you, where it is found in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Well, as we read through the law, as is our custom every Lord's Day morning, one of the reminders which I'm at pains to set before you, as I did even this morning, is how easy it is for us to drop into a superficial understanding. It wasn't that the Pharisees themselves, of which we read in the Gospel accounts, were indifferent to the law, far from it. And yet Jesus, as he opens up the Sermon on the Mount, points to the Pharisees, unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, given that they were a byword for their clear commitment to the keeping of the law, that puts us in a difficult position, to say the least. But then as Jesus went on to explain how we should receive the law, we saw that one of the difficulties which undermined their protestations of sanctification was that they only kept the law outwardly. They were the equivalent of the Taj Mahal of their day. If you've ever seen a picture of that very splendid building in India, the Taj Mahal, it's a gleaming building painted all in white with magnificent gardens all around it. It was built to house the bones of a Maharaja's wife. They are like whited sepulchres, says Jesus. On the outside, they are perfection itself as far as the keeping of the law is concerned, but their hearts were far from God. They were content to have a superficial understanding, and we have to recognize in our own hearts that we are quite content to have a superficial understanding as well when it comes to a reading of the law. It's so much easier for us to content ourselves that we have kept the law if we have just an outward aspect to it, without following through on what Jesus has to say in terms of what's going on in your heart. If you allow anger to get the better of you, even though you manage to suppress it and don't allow any words to escape, still you have murdered a person in your heart. Or if you have looked upon a maid with a lustful thought, then you have committed adultery. Well, by that standard, then we must recognize that neither you nor I have ever kept the law fully and properly. We are all sinners. And now as we come to examine this fifth commandment, we would inquire, well, what is the Lord telling us, not only about himself and not only about ourselves, but what is he telling us about the way of the gospel? So we come tonight to examine this fifth commandment, and the question that is uppermost in our mind is, what does this tell me about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And even as we take up those words, we recognize that that temptation to be superficial in our understanding is not only of the commandments, the prohibitions or the commands of the Ten Commandments, but even in the promises that are attached to them. And I dare say if I pressed at least some of you tonight, perhaps your understanding of that promise that is attached to the fifth commandment is, if I'm nice to mum and dad, then I'll have a long and happy retirement. Well, let me, at the risk of disappointing some of you, discouraging perhaps, tell you that I don't really think that that's what it's saying. Let me give you my reasons for saying I don't think that that really is the way in which we should receive it. And if you have, as a parent at times, Laid that upon your children. If you want to live a long life, then you better listen to what I have to say. Then, you might need to retract those words. What is the scripture saying? Well, be nice to mum and dad, and you'll have a long and happy retirement. Well, the first reason I would give you for saying that, I really can't support that exposition of this particular promise, is quite simply that I suspect most of us have known someone who has gone from this world into the world that is to come, who has not enjoyed a long and happy retirement, in spite of the fact that they have very clearly kept the commandments as far as anyone can keep the commandments. I'm thinking of a young girl who died, I think it was about 6 years ago. She was hardly into her teenage years. She contracted cancer and had a most wonderful confession of faith, even from her hospital bed, as she grew weaker and weaker and bore testimony to her love for Christ in a most moving and effective way. Or from my own native land, there is the story of the two Margarets. I believe our own Margaret is named after the two Margarets. The two Margarets were martyred during the killing times in the 17th century in Scotland in a most cruel way. The older of the two Margarets, something of a mother figure, was tied to a post in the Solway Firth, which is in the sort of southwest corner of Scotland. And the younger Margaret, I think just 18 years of age, likewise tied to a post, but further up the estuary. So that as the tide came in that part of Scotland, the tidal basin is very flat, and so you can go a long way out. When the tide is out, there's a lot of sand that is exposed. And so the older Margaret was further out as the tide came in, and the younger Margaret could see the older Margaret bearing testimony to her faith in the Lord Jesus and watch her drown as she maintained her witness. Her cruel tormentors wanted to get her to recant, but she remained faithful and continued to bear witness to her trust in Christ and died as her mother in the Lord had also died by drowning. She honored her mother. And yet she never passed out of her teenage years. Well, what are we to make of that? Or Robert Murray McChane, whose name must be known to not a few of you, who never saw his 30th birthday and yet was a notably godly man in his generation. There's no exception clause given in this commandment. It's not honor your father and your mother so that most of you will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Or you will live long except for a few, for whatever reason that I decide will not. What value would there be in such a promise being made to us? You would never be sure that you would receive anything of the blessing of God. So that would be my first reason, really, for doubting it. God is faithful, and if he has not seemingly kept his word as we would interpret it, then it's our interpretation that is wrong. Secondly, is living in this world such a desirable asset for us to have? When Paul was recognizing his own ministry, that it was possibly coming to an end, he declares to the saints, well, I don't know which is better, whether to depart, which is better, or to remain and be useful in ministry with you. For me to live, says Paul, is Christ, and to die is gain. If dying is gain and we're going to be in the nearer presence of our beloved Redeemer, even as we read from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Christ by John, the disciples are overwhelmed with grief. And so Jesus, who is always the pastor, the great shepherd of the flock, says to you, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. That was the comfort that Jesus gave to his disciples, that where I am, there ye may be also. If you had asked them on that dark night so long ago, do you want to remain in this world, or you want to be one who is taken to be with your master? Is there a man there apart from that son of perdition who would not immediately have answered, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you. So a promise, although after the flesh in some way we might say, well, that sounds like a good idea. You live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's actually not necessarily, if we take it in those terms, the best end of the deal. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. A promise that delays the gain that I anticipate is not necessarily such a wonderful promise after all. Let me give you a third reason for why I don't think we should look upon this promise as being, if I'm nice to mum and dad, I'll have a long and happy retirement. Because if you want that promise to be realized in the now, you also need to have it realized in the here. And what is the land that the Lord your God is giving you? I don't think Illinois is what Moses had in mind when the law was dictated. Well, it is the promise then to be fulfilled as all the faithful saints who have honored their parents, upon retirement, they take up an apartment in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. Well, if you want the fulfillment in the now, then you've got to have the fulfillment in the geography as well. Well, I haven't heard any of you say, I just can't wait until I get the keys of my apartment in Tel Aviv or wherever else it may be. And don't be surprised if when you get there, if that's the answer to the promise that God has given, then you'll be sharing that apartment with about 150 other people who are likewise crammed in shoulder to shoulder, and you'll be sleeping upright because there'll be a lot of people will be in that apartment in Tel Aviv if God is to fulfill his promise in that way. Well, I trust that by now, if you ever did think that being nice to mum and dad meant that you would have a long and happy retirement, that that really is not the way in which we should receive that promise. That's not what God is telling us. We don't look forward to our reward in this place. Jesus tells his disciples in that upper room long ago, and it's set for us for our comfort in God's word, that we may hear those words of Jesus and lay them upon our own hearts. I go now to prepare a place for you. Are you longing for heaven and home? That doesn't mean to say that you should have, in any sense, any suicidal tendency. That is absolutely not what the Word of God would bring before us. We work while it is day. We do say with Paul, for me to live is Christ. As long as the Lord is pleased to continue me in this world, I will continue to do, I trust, what God has appointed for me to do. And in that sense, surely we can all say as believers, I am immortal until I have completed the task assigned to me by my God and Father. He has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. Well, if that long and happy retirement which you were anticipated has suddenly evaporated from view, how should we receive that? And as it has always been my pains to place before you, if you think you have understood and exhausted the goodness and the kindness of God, then it is only because your imagination is limited. God is always better than you can imagine. And if that long and happy retirement which you had up until this evening anticipated has now evaporated from view, let me put in its place something which will hold your attention more wonderfully and more gloriously. I'd like to propose a couple of ways in which we might receive this commandment thoughtfully. First of all, what does it mean to honor our parents in such a way that the reward brings us into an eternal blessing? It certainly can't mean a blind obedience. A child is not under any obligation to lie, cheat, or steal simply because a parent says so. And I trust that every parent here would never encourage, let alone command, a child to do so, but one supposes that there are not a few parents who might indeed do that. Well, if such a child reading this verse were to say, well, I must obey my father even when he tells me to go and steal something. No, 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 no. No, no such thing could ever be intended by Scripture. Could it be that this command is seeking to lay upon us a responsibility to follow father and mother, even as we listen to their counsel, as they would raise us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Well, Proverbs has a lot to say about the relationship between a father and his son. Indeed, the opening chapters, if you open up your Bibles and you're reading that, particularly helpful to read it through with your children on a regular basis. Happily, there are 31 chapters, which makes it easy for you to remember which chapter to read on any particular day. The only difficulty with that is, of course, when you get to a month like September, you miss out the chapter that deals with what a wonderful blessing a godly wife is. Well, perhaps they're too young to worry too much about having the godly wife, and you can then pass on to Proverbs chapter 1 the next day, or just delight your soul in two chapters in one reading. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. It is a son who listens to the counsel of his father that is commended. Again from Proverbs, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. That instruction is summed up in the words, fear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how are we to receive that promise? And how does it tell us about the nature of God's blessing? What is the blessing that God is promising us? I want to take you now to the book of Judges, which I trust is not altogether an unfamiliar book to you. It's perhaps best known for that refrain which happens again and again in the book of Judges. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There is a depressing regularity in the cycle of the book of Judges where the people of God fall into sin. Some nation round about comes and oppresses them. They repent of their sins. They cry out to God. God raises up a judge. He rules them for a number of years until he dies, at which point they forget the God whom they had been worshipping, fall into sin once more. Another nation appears on the horizon to oppress them. They cry out to God. God hears them, appoints another judge. The judge defends them against their enemies until he dies. And then the cycle continues, cycle after cycle, judge after judge. It is depressing to see how quickly the people of God fall into sin after each time God rescues them. Well, let me read to you an extended passage now from Judges chapter 2, which sets the scene. I will emphasize for you particular passages for the sake of what it is we are looking at just now. This is Judges chapter 2 and verses 16 to 22. Judges chapter 2, verses 16 to 22. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said, because this people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did, or not. Well, there you see in the book of Judges the connection made between walking in the ways of their fathers, and when they stopped doing that, oppression comes, and the nations rise up around them to plunder them, to disturb them, and to bring them under oppression. It's when God's people cease to honor their fathers and turned away, then their enemies prospered. The penalty for transgressing the covenant and failing to honor their fathers was that God would no longer drive out the nations before them. It was only the pity of God that moved him to raise up judges to bring relief from the oppression of the enemy. Later in the history of God's people, their failure to take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers brought them into exile from the land that the Lord their God was giving them. Daniel freely acknowledged, "We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our fathers and to all the people of the land." He recognized that God had driven them from the land that the Lord had given them, even as he meditated upon the book of Jeremiah. Well, this from Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. Here's the promise of God's punishment for failing to walk in the ways of their fathers. "I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a reproach, a byword, a taunt, and a curse in all the places where I shall drive them. And I will send sword, famine, and pestilence upon them until they shall be utterly destroyed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers." If honoring father and mother leads to living long in the land the Lord our God is giving us, then failure to honor father and mother will lead to forfeiting the land given to fathers and mothers and be driven into exile. Well, is that just a curiosity from a far distant past? Or are there lessons here that we are meant to learn? Well, if all scripture is profitable for teaching, then we should take to heart the failures of a previous generation. In doing so, we need to be careful as to which fathers we select. We've seen something of that in 2 Chronicles. One of the things for which Jehoshaphat was commended was that he walked in the way of his father David. There were plenty of other fathers upon whom he could have focused his attention, but they were not all reputable men, some of them far from it. But it was because he walked in the way of David, a man after God's own heart, that he was commended. But let me be bold enough to take this one step further. David is declared to be a man after God's own heart. Yet for all that, he did fall into sin. So when we talk even about David, in what ways are we to seek to follow after him? There are certainly some aspects of his conduct which we could never commend to anyone. Well, ultimately, it's not honoring our fathers after the flesh. It's not that which gives rise to the greatest blessing. It's the honoring of our Father in heaven, when we walk with him and in his ways, then we are assured we will truly live long in the land that he is giving us. Well, let me build a little on what we were looking at this morning when we were examining what it meant to be a judge and what it means to desire justice. When we come before the just judge of all the earth, is it justice that we desire? Well, not if we are still in the flesh, but if we are in Christ, we can be bold enough to say, my sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. So give me justice, because there is one who has kept the law perfectly for me in my place and has paid the penalty in full. It's not my righteousness to which I cling, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has kept the law perfectly in every aspect. So we can ask the question, did Jesus keep the law perfectly? With regard to the fifth commandment, did he honor father and mother? And we can most assuredly say to the elect angels, God's elect upon the earth, and to anyone else who has ears to hear, he kept the law perfectly. He honored his Father on earth. His meat and drink was to do the will of his Father in heaven, and he never departed from that. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. So how are we to look at this particular commandment? Even as we would seek to explain it and apply it to our children, and rightly so, but to see it in terms also of the gospel message, that we are sinners. We have not honored our parents in all the ways in which we should. And if your children are not doing it, then perhaps it reminds you of the time when you failed to honor your father and mother when you were a child. But your confidence is not in your own keeping of the commandments. Your confidence is in the one who has kept the commandment in your place for you. And here's where we can take that commandment and rejoice in it, that Jesus, having kept the law perfectly, he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the fifth commandment, that all who belong to him will live long in the land that the Lord our God is giving us. It's not some cramped apartment in Tel Aviv and a long and perhaps happy retirement at the eastern end of the Mediterranean, but the fulfillment that Jesus made to his disciples, that where I am, there ye may be also. To be with Christ forever is the great longing of every believing heart. And in comparison with that, who really would trade a long and even happy retirement for the promise that God has given us in Christ, that we who belong to Him will be raised up at the last, and that He is coming again for us, that where He is, there we may be also, and that we will possess that land forever and ever. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this commandment. We thank Thee that it points us to the Lord Jesus, who kept every commandment fully and completely in our place. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus honored Thee, Father, in all His ways, and that in seeking to bring comfort to His disciples, He promised them that He would come again for them, that where He is, there we will be also. And if perhaps we have taken the commandment and discounted it in a worldly way, placing it in the here and now, when our God is always so much better than we can imagine, be pleased, O Lord, to stir our hearts in boundless affection towards Thee for the promise which Thou hast made us in Thy word, that our Savior Christ shall come again and claim His people for His own. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. For this we would ask in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.